Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We do it every day, or at least most days. We do it before we eat, before we go to sleep, before we go to the doctor, or before we take part in a sporting event. We do it right here this morning. In fact, as we just said, we've already done it, and in a few minutes we will again. What am I talking about? Prayer. Praying. Both our Old Testament and our Gospel readings this morning are about prayer. Especially our Gospel reading from Luke 11, which contains Jesus' teaching of what is known as the Lord's Prayer. Now, when you first looked at the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11, maybe you noticed something. It seems just a little bit different from the Lord's Prayer that we're used to, doesn't it? It's shorter, and a couple things seem to be missing. The Gospel writer Matthew also recorded Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer as part of the Sermon on the Mount. The prayer recorded in Matthew is the more familiar one that we know. So what's going on here? Why is this one different? Any teacher will tell you that when you want your students to remember something, you do not only teach it to them one time and never again, but you teach it to them many different times, sometimes in different ways, so that it sticks. That's what this is. Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, and he taught it to them again in a slightly different way in response to their question or their request, Lord, teach us to pray. So the fact that Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer to his disciples at least two different times should show us the importance of this prayer. Unfortunately, sometimes because everybody knows the Lord's Prayer and we can all say it without really thinking about it, we all say it without really thinking about it. Because we can all say it off the tops of our heads without thinking about it, we oftentimes see the Lord's Prayer as a simple prayer, an easy prayer, a nice prayer to be sure, but one that does not always apply to our circumstances or situations. So sometimes we can have the idea that it's better or more helpful or more pious or more fitting or more appropriate or more wherever to pray a prayer of our own devising rather than the prayer that our Lord has given us. But as we'll see this morning, there is a reason when the disciples ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, say. This prayer is the greatest prayer of all. And when we stop and really think about what we are really saying and praying in the Lord's Prayer, we will see that it applies to any and all situations that we might find ourselves praying about. Now, that's not to say, and please do not misunderstand me, that's not to say we should only pray the Lord's Prayer and we should never pray any other kind of prayer. No, that's not what I mean. My point is, sometimes we give the Lord's Prayer a short shrift because we can just say it and we don't always think about what we're saying. So Luke tells us. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to him, when you pray, say, Father, Father. Jesus teaches us to call God Father. That's not just a nice sounding word, but there's a meaning to it. There's a reason Jesus says that. God's relationship to his people is like the relationship of a father to his children. The relationship between God and us is the very reason that we are praying at all. We can and do pray to God because
He is our Father.
So this very first word shows us our relationship to God. This simple word, Father, is the basis for our prayer. Father is the foundation we stand on when we pray, and the basis for everything else that we will pray for in this prayer or in any other prayer that we might pray. You can pray to God because He is your Father. If you were to go home this afternoon and pick up your phone at your house and call the White House and say, I would like to talk to the president about some things that are on my mind, do you suppose that the receptionist would say to you, 1 minute and I'll put him on for you? No way. Presidents are too busy. They have too many things to do to spend their time talking on the phone with anyone and everyone who calls. Now, I have heard people say, even people who are Christians, I have heard say, God has more important things to do than worry about my issues or problems. I don't want to bother God with this, or I don't want to bother God with that. Maybe you've said that or thought that at times, too. This little word, Father, says, get rid of thoughts like those. God the Father wants His children to pray to Him, so much that He has made you His children in the first place. The Father sent His Son, His one and only Son, the only begotten one, to be one of us. The Son of the Father bore your sins on His body and died to pay for them. Jesus is the only one who could rightly and truly call God His Father because He Himself is the Son. But Jesus became sin for you and for me so that we are adopted into God's family as His sons and daughters so that we also can call God Father. In baptism, you were united to Jesus' death and resurrection for you so that He is your Father. After teaching us to call God Father, Jesus teaches us to say, Hallowed be your name. Now, God's name is holy, no matter what. God's name is always holy because God is always holy. And nothing that you or I ever say or do can change that, even the tiniest bit. So why does Jesus teach us to pray for something that always has been, is now, and always will be? Well, God's name is always holy, but you and I don't always treat it like it's holy, do we? There was the time that you dropped that wrench on your toe. You remember what I'm talking about, right? You were not treating God's name like it was holy then, were you? When we pray, Hallowed be your name, or Hallowed be thy name, we are praying that God would enable us to keep His name, to treat it holy, like the holy thing that it is. And why does it matter that we keep God's name holy? Because we, you and I, bear His name. In baptism, God's name was put on you. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God's name is on you. So, how you speak and how you act reflects back on that name that you bear. So as you pray this prayer, in whatever situation you find yourself in, you know that God's name is on you. Your kingdom come, Jesus teaches us next. Well, again, God's kingdom will come when God wants it to, whether we pray or do or say anything about it or not. So again, why does Jesus teach us to pray for something that's going to happen anyway? Well, first we should know just how God's kingdom comes. God's kingdom comes in and now, comes now in His Word, and His Word put together with water, and His Word put together with bread, and put together with wine, where He forgives our sins and gives us eternal life. These means of grace are how God's kingdom comes to you and to me, how God works in our lives. God's kingdom came to you in your baptism, and God's kingdom comes to you now in his word, and it will come to you in the body and blood of his son in the Lord's Supper 1 week from now, next Sunday. So we pray that God would bring and continue to bring his kingdom to us in these ways, and that he would bring it to others in these ways as well. And God's kingdom will come once and for all on the last day, when he puts an end to sin and evil in the world and reigns forever and ever. So we pray that God would bring his kingdom to us now in his word and in his sacraments. And we pray that God would hasten that last day so that we would no longer be strangers groaning in an evil and corrupted world, but would live in paradise with him forever. Give us each day our daily bread. Give us what we need each day. Not what we want, but what we need. Not the things that we think that we need, but the things that we actually need. As the Catechism teaches us, this includes things like food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Anything else that we might need. But daily bread is also more than just these physical things that we need. Jesus calls himself the bread of life that came down from heaven. So daily bread also includes the spiritual gifts that God gives to us. The forgiveness of sins and eternal life that we receive through his word and his sacraments. So give us this day our daily bread means give us all the things that we need to stay alive. And also give us your word so that our sins will be forgiven and we would have eternal life. Whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever you find yourself praying about with this petition, you ask God to give you whatever you need to deal with it. And why can you expect God to give you your daily bread? Because he's your Father who has put his name on you and brought you into his kingdom. See how each petition flows into the next one. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. It is only because of forgiveness that you and I may call God Father. It is only through forgiveness that his kingdom comes. Without this, nothing else matters. Without forgiveness, there is no life and no salvation. But where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. So we ask God to forgive our sins, not because we are so good, not because we promise we'll do something to make up for them. We ask God to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Because Jesus has taken those sins on himself and paid for them. Because Jesus has become sin for us and in so doing made God our Father and us his children. Through Jesus and only through Jesus, we have forgiveness with God. But that forgiveness does not just show itself in our relationship to our Father. Just like daily bread is earthly and also heavenly, forgiveness is both heavenly and earthly too. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Do you? Or do you expect God to forgive you while you want to hold on to the grudge that you have against your neighbor? And so Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation. The Father who gives all good gifts allowed his one and only Son to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Trials and sufferings come because God is our Father, because his name has been put on us, because his kingdom comes to us. Because God is our Father, that means that the devil is our enemy. Trials and sufferings come because the devil wants to tempt us to sin. So when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we are praying that we would not give in, that we would not fall, that we would not succumb to the temptation when it comes. When we pray this petition, we pray that even though the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature tempt us in different times, ways, and places, that God would be with us and preserve us from falling. What a wonderful gift Jesus has given us with this prayer. A prayer for all circumstances and issues. A prayer that covers every need and reminds us why we can pray to God at all. To close, I can think of no better thing to say than what Martin Luther himself said about this prayer. He said, "No nobler prayer can be found on earth than the Lord's Prayer, which we pray daily, for it has the clear testimony that God loves to hear. We would not give it up for all the riches of the world." May it be so. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.